Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and we are running a new segment today. This is episode 118, and you will be listening today to Leslie Earl Lyman, a frequent contributor, guest, and collaborator here on the Mile High Show. He is sitting down with Gabriel Rhodes. They are getting ready for the Danny Rhodes Memorial Blues Concert coming up December 26th at the main stage in Cottonwood. So listen in as they talk about Gabe, his band, Les's career in music, and Danny Rhodes, the Danny Rhodes Memorial Blues Show at the main stage in Cottonwood coming up December 26th. And a night jam-packed with great music, great musicians, and a lot of fun down at the main stage. So sit back, enjoy Les and Gabe Rhodes talking about that show and lots of other stuff. So enjoy the show. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon. Please use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com. As a matter of fact, if you can, just bookmark milehighshow.com as your Amazon portal. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us. And what it does, you just click that button, and it takes you right over to your standard Amazon or your Amazon Prime login, and then shop away. No extra money for you, no extra cost. But again, what it does is it lets Amazon know you got there through us, and then they give us a little thank you at the end of the month. So it is a way you can do what you do anyway and support the show at the same time. Right next to that Amazon link is a link for Audible. You can click on that and head over to audible.com by that Mile High Show link and choose a free, absolutely free audio download from over 180,000 titles. They've got books, magazines, podcasts, comedy, all kinds of stuff there. And you get a free audio download, absolutely free, and a 30-day free trial by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. Again, these are all ways to get things for free while supporting the show at the same time. So please do so. Again, milehighshow.com has links for Amazon and Audible right there. And that Audible link, you get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial. Now, if you don't like that free Audible download, you can trade it in. Get something else for free. No charge, no nothing, and you get that free 30-day trial. It'll be a great, great way to support the show and get free stuff at the same time. Enjoy the show. We hope you like it. This is Les Lyman and Gabe Rhodes talking about the Danny Rhodes Memorial Blues Show in Cottonwood at the main stage, December 26th.
That's when he said, "We'll never work in this town again."
Money in a sock, gonna buy the way these poor boy blue. Time to fill my pockets all the way down to my shoe. Fortune just awaiting like a peach swinging on a tree. Permanent vacation all aboard that Delta Queen. Down the river.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to You'll Never Work in This Town Again. My name is Leslie Earl Lyman, and my inaugural podcast fun thing to do will be with my good friend Gabriel Rhodes. My good friend Chuck Murko is in the room, and tonight we're going to be talking about Gabriel Rhodes' father, Danny Rhodes, who is a legend. You know, legend in the blues and rock scene in Northern Arizona, Sedona, Birdcage, like you name it, man. The guy played everywhere up here and just left a huge mark. And we're going to be talking about his dad and the upcoming fourth annual. You know, mm-hmm. The 4 years in a row now of the Danny Rhodes tribute that I am so blessed to be part of the tribute band. Because, like, Gabe loves me, that's why. So say hi, say hello to the people, Gabe.
Hello.
That's right.
Hi, everybody.
So, I just like, you know, tell us about your dad.
Well, you know, my dad born in Cairo, Illinois, but he grew up in Monroe, Louisiana. He was a Cajun boy, grew up, and you know, he started his musical upbringing in his teenage years. It pretty much began with the British invasion, but it also even stronger with the blues, John Lee Hooker, Son House, you know, great blues artists like that. He became one of those kind of like gypsy musicians where he just started kind of moving all over the state, and then started moving all over the country. He was in Austin for a while. And then he moved to Nashville. That's where I was born. And around that time that I was born in Nashville, he had a songwriting deal with Warner Brothers. He had played shows with Mel McDaniel, Charlie Rich, Brenda Lee. There's a massive list. Fun fact, he was asked by Warner Brothers to write a song for Etta James, who at the time was making a comeback record. This is like 1990, and the album was Sticking to My Guns. There's a song on there called Get Funky. And if you actually go on Wikipedia, look up that record, and you look up the song Get Funky, you'll see in the credit D. Rhodes. It's Danny Rhodes. And that song was the very first single off of the album. And became a club hit. So, and that was my earliest memories of my dad and his work and what he was doing at that time. And yeah, he was busy. He was busy. he was doing a lot. Yeah.
So how'd he get out here?
It was kind of a crazy turn of events. Unfortunately, my family separated at that time. My mom grabbed me and my older sister and moved us here to northern Arizona, where I began life with my grandparents. And unfortunately, some years later, my mom passed away. My dad, basically, who was still at the time living in Nashville, uprooted and just said, I want to go and take care of my kids. And said, and he had a lot of stuff going on over there. I mean, he still had gigs, he still had jobs, he was still doing good for himself as a working musician, let go of everything to come and take care of us. And then just that's really what it was, you know, it was family that brought him over here.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah.
Now, so when did you start playing music with him? Because there's YouTube videos and stuff like that, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, Gabe's blushing just a little.
The memories are slowly flashing back. My earliest memories are me like trudging around in my diapers stealing his guitars. You know, running up and down the hallways with him trailing after me, like, give him my damn guitar, and I'm running after it. You know, I'm holding a $2,000 Fender Strat 72. I'm a little kid. I didn't know what it was. You know, it's like, ooh, shiny, bright thing. Yay, guitar. So I think my earliest like actual memory of like playing with him was when I was about four. You know, it was just him and I in a garage, and he just plugged in and played and said, son, get behind the drums, and we would jam for like hours on end. Cool. And just jam. And it would probably be Beatles songs or it would just be whatever the heck he wanted to play, or play something like this. Okay. So that was my earliest memory. He did play my first show with me. I was 8 years old, and it was in front of my elementary school. I was in the second grade, and I think we predominantly played Beatles songs.
Cool. And second grade, really?
Second grade.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, second grade. That was my first show in front of all my friends. Still got picked on. Not cool. Not cool. I thought I was going to earn me some street cred, but no, it didn't work out. But no, at least after that, they knew me as the drummer. And so yeah,
kind of stuck with you from then on.
It did. Thanks to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but yeah, he always kept me on my toes. And that was the great thing about my dad is that he was always super adamant about me playing. Even when I didn't really want to do it, he was always about get behind the drums, practice, do more of this, do more of that. He would randomly pull me out of my room and put me in front of a TV and say, play along to that song. Could be any song. Mm-hmm. It could be Whitney Houston. It could be, you know, it could be Metallica. You know, it could be Michael Bolton. It could be anybody. And he's like, play to that. Play to that. Play to that song, any style. And yeah, that's, you know, that was the kind of early teachings of him and kind of getting me into that mode, I guess.
Okay, that's cool.
So did you
do gigs with him in the Messengers at all?
Or? I did.
That was Danny's band, Danny Rhodes and the Messengers.
So. The Messengers formed in 95, but I would guest spot in some shows when I was a kid. Like if I showed up at one of his gigs, he'd be like, oh, on special, you know, we're gonna invite a special guest up on stage, you know, my son. You know, get him up on, you know, and I'd feel like such a rock star, you know, getting up on there. We play Johnny Be Good. It'd be cool. No, but I started playing with him, like, for real as a professional, you know, as an actual messenger when I was about 15 years old. Mm. I started off as his percussionist. And then I did that for a couple of years. And then, funnily enough, I just turned 18, and he booked this tour of Colorado. It was like four or five dates, and it was 2 days before we go on tour. And I'm assuming that I'm the percussionist. And I'm getting all my gear ready and everything. He's like, oh, by the way, you're the drummer. I'm like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean I'm the drummer? He's like, well. You've been playing with me long enough. You know my stuff. You're we're going on tour. You need a professional to come and play this stuff. Not me. You know, I go doing 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 with the cowbell. You know, but no, he those are my first shows as the drummer of the Messengers, and then from there on out, I stayed as the drummer up until the last gigs.
Sad. When did your dad pass away?
This was May of 2008. It was a really confusing time. I mean to just to put into perspective, this is my dad. You know, I mean, he was a 50-plus-year-old man who woke up at the crack of dawn, threw a leash on the dog, and went and ran 4 miles up mountainous terrain, came back, drank a whole pot of coffee and a bagel, and then started his day. Every day. This is every day. I mean, this guy was out and back, bench pressing, doing pull-ups, lifting weights. He was healthy. You know, he didn't drink that much. He didn't smoke. You know, not a drug, nothing. You know, he was clean. And so when... You know, I mean, he'd started going to the hospital for stomach issues because what he ended up having was stomach cancer. And, you know, at first we thought it was a hernia, and then the doctors thought it was a tumor, and then they did further testing and it ended up being cancer. And, you know, it was just really surprising because, you know, he had taken so good care of him, such good care of himself. And he had this horrible, rapid sickness that ate him up within, like, 6 months. So, you know, it was... You know, I mean, it was shell shocking. You know, that it was, you know, it was something I didn't grasp for a long time. You know, I had lost my biological mom when I was a kid, and then I was 19 at the time. I'm 28 now, you know, and I so I mean, it was tough. It was just a very, very, very shell shocking experience, knowing that. Here's the strongest man that I know in my life. You know, the strongest man. I mean, the guy that I considered my security blanket, and he was dying. And it was horrible. You know, I mean, for lack of better words.
Okay. That's, it's, I definitely can, you know, Definitely can feel that, man.
Yeah.
Definitely
no,
can
I,
feel that.
I didn't play music for a couple of years afterwards. You know, you know, listening to his music was another deal. So. Right. Sorry.
Radio edit, man.
Bleep. sorry, children.
Oh, man. Well, so, we'll just,
sorry, children.
We'll just edit that out.
No. Sorry, kids. No, but no. I mean, it took a couple of years before I could actually start playing music again. You know, because you know, he was my mentor. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, again, to put into perspective, I mean, this is the guy that made me the person I am today. I would not be the musician, the person I am today, if it wasn't for him. He showed me everything there was to be about a working musician: touring, recording, gigging. You know, he made it very clear when I first joined the band as an actual messenger. I mean, he looked at me straight in the eye and said, "All right, you want to be a working musician? This is what you want to do for the rest of your life? Here's how you do it. This is how you do it. You know, you got to load up all the gear. You got to show up this early. You got to set up all this. You got to sound check. You got to make sure. You got to pay these people. You got to hire these. You got to call these people." You know, all these things I had no idea about. I thought it was just you showed up and played. You know, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was that easy, you know, but no, he really put, you know, showed me the ropes and showed me what it was to be a working musician.
Hmm.
And I'm grateful for it.
Okay. So, like, to change track a little bit because, like, you're currently working with your band, The Mods.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a story there that's really interesting. You guys, like, you guys know each other since you were kids, right?
I mean,
you've been playing since you were like, you know, what, teenagers maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to even go farther back, the guitar player for the band, his name is Travis Eaton. I met him, I was 10 years old. He was 12. We met at a battle of the bands in Northern Arizona. He was in another band. I was in a separate band. And we met and became friends out of the simple notion that we were kids and we both loved the Beatles.
Mm.
That was it. You know, we both loved the Beatles, and then we both discovered, it's like, oh, you also like Pink Floyd? Oh, you also like Creedence? Oh, you also like the Doors?
And that was like, that was an odd thing because...
Well, it's like...
When was that? That was like, what year was that? It's like,
this was 99.
Yeah. Really? Wow, yeah.
This is like, yeah, 99. Yeah.
10-year-old kids weren't listening to the Beatles, man.
The only people I can relate to were my teachers. You know, like, you know, like, you know, every other kid, you know, wanted to BMX and skateboard and do that. And I was in the back, you know, listening to my Beatles records. You know, and I was the nerdy kid, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was me. Yeah. So, but
that's,
yeah,
interesting.
I met him, and then him and I, you know, just continued our friendship. We're in and out of a couple projects together, and then The Mods formed.
Where'd Lewis come along? Lewis Oeschlein. Oh, is that how you say it? Oeschlein? Oeschlein?
Oeschlein.
Oeschlein. Sorry, Lewis. Oeschlein. Sorry, buddy.
No. Don't be sorry. There's like so many people that say his name in so many ways. There's Oeschlein. Oeschlein. Oeschlein is my favorite. I think that's like the actual right pronunciation of it. Oeschlein.
No one knows how to say his last name. So I feel better now.
Right. It sounds like a fantastic pasta dish. It does.
just so you guys know, I'm friends with those guys too. I love, yes, Lewis, but Lewis will now forever to me be a fantastic pasta dish.
A fantastic pasta dish. Yes. Sorry, Lou.
That's okay, man.
Sorry, Lou. But,
Oh, anyways, boy.
gonna swing it on back.
That's right, man. Yep.
He was friends with Trav. He had met Trav in high school. Lewis is actually a guy that was not a musician, but wanted to be a musician. So, you know, he really wanted to learn the bass specifically, and Trav was the known kid in school that, you know, he was a guitar player, he was a piano player, you know, he was the go-to guy for this. So Trav showed Lewis the basics of how to play bass, And then a month later, I met him when Trav brought him over to my house. We rehearsed one time, and we became a band that day. And it's been this, and it's been the same band since that day.
It's like, it's just kind of hard to believe you guys aren't all related just because of the way everybody interacts, you know, that you guys are
by interact, I mean fights.
Well, yeah, there's that, you know, but it's like, you know, but you know, it's a different thing. It's that family thing where like, yeah. You know, you guys beat on each other, but don't touch. You know, only I can beat on him. You know? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like that from all you guys, you know, like, you know, I think
only I can yell at him.
That's right. No, you can't yell at him, man.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. And like you guys have been, gosh, you guys go to Sturgis pretty much every year.
Every year.
For the last, what, every year. Four?
Yeah, this year was our fourth year in a row.
Yeah, look, like, ladies and gentlemen, go out and look for the pictures of the girls with the lizards. Or the lizard. It's only one lizard, right?
One lizard.
Yeah, it's just a lizard.
A lizard.
It's a lizard. Find that. Find that on the mods page, I'm sure.
Oon reptile.
On Facebook page. So, how did this? There was another tribute, right, that was going on, right? Mm-hmm. You started doing this 4 years ago, right?
Yeah,
you started doing this 4 years ago, and it's been cool. Yeah, it's been cool.
It's been great.
Yeah.
No, not to get into super sketchy territory here, but I mean, I have to be honest and real about, you know, the situation of what was going on at the very beginning. You know, I mean, even going farther back, when my dad was passing away, you know, I mean, I was obviously by his side for a lot of that time in the hospital. And, you know, we talked a lot. And one of the things that we had talked about was his Blue Summit. Because this was something they had started in the late 90s with, you know, all the local musicians around town, but it was his deal. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I want you to keep it going. I want you to keep this going. You know, and I said, okay, I will. I'll do that. You know, I mean, I didn't want to accept that I was going to be doing it without him, but I promised him that, mm-hmm. I would do it. And, you know, 1 year I was planning mine and came to find out some other musicians were planning a quote Dandy Rhodes Blue Summit, and I didn't get the invite. And then closer to the event, I still didn't get an invite. And you know, all these flyers and promotions were coming up with all these musicians that my dad had played with, mm-hmm. done the Blue Summit with, shared the stage with, all of that. And I'm a son, and I not once got a phone call. Nothing. I had to call the, you know, the promoter, the people, and go, okay, what's going on? Why have I not gotten a call from my dad's own tribute show? So, you know, I went and did it. I ended up going to that show, participated in it. I talked with the musician that had put together the gig and who had said that, you know, we were going to get together that very next year and put together next year's Blue Summit together. And I said, great. Well, next year came around, no phone call. I contact this musician, and this musician told me, well, this is my show. And it's my rules. And it's like, oh, but this is the Dandy Rhodes Memorial, mm-hmm. Blue Summit. I'm his son. You're acknowledging that you wanted me to help you out with this. Let me help. Oh, well, this is my show. You got to deal with it this way. So I went ahead and moved forward with my own Blue Summit as I intended in the first place. And just kept with that. And
it's cool. Yeah, you know, and it's been, you know, we've been having it at Main Stage.
Yes,
you know, which like certainly a shout out to Main Stage, you know, for like hosting this thing every year. It's It's a blast. It's like the day after Christmas. No one's doing anything. There's all these musicians lying around, like, not doing anything because it's a day after Christmas.
Yes.
And we've had, like, well, I don't know, the second year it was me. It was like the guy that showed up. But it, like, you know, last year was off the hook. This year I think we have the same, you know, we actually have a tribute band.
Yeah.
We actually have a tribute band. It's going really well. It's we've been deep in rehearsal. Yeah, it's going to be, and so it's going to be, tell the people it's going to be. Yeah.
Well, a lot of work has been underway for this year. I mean, we have everything from awesome local musicians to national touring acts.
Well, who? Plug away, man.
Laurie McDonald.
Right, Laurie McDonald.
The legendary Laurie McDonald that everyone around here knows. Shree Blues Band, who were out of Prescott, but they just came back from touring in Europe and played a bunch of blues gigs over there. They're a fantastic band. Tommy Dukes, Tommy Grills, who are both...
Oh, Tommy Dukes. I didn't know Tommy Dukes. Yeah. Was cool.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, AZ Blues Hall of Famer. Who, also, my dad, AZ Blues Hall of Famer. But we have them coming out. I got to mention the lineup for the tribute band. It's myself. It's Les... It's Chuck Merkel on bass. It's Dale Cadell on guitar. Ray DeSylvester on harmonica. And Joe Rivera on percussion. It's going to be sick. It is going to be insane. And really, really funky. But, I don't want to give it all away. All I can tell you is that there's going to be a lot of great artists. And there's a lot of great music up ahead this evening. And it's... Nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, we're all pretty excited.
I'm really excited.
We're pretty excited.
I'm really excited.
I posted on the Facebook. I'm getting excited because I was getting excited, man. You know, it was cool. So give us the where, when, time. You know,
December 26th, Monday. It's doors open at 7:00. It's going to be at the Main Stage Theater in Cottonwood, Arizona, and no admission, no cover, all ages, come on out.
But you should buy a t-shirt.
Yes.
You should buy a t-shirt.
T-shirts will be available. Make sure you pick up one. We only have a limited run of them, so make sure that you pick up your fourth annual Danny Rhodes Blue Summit shirt this year.
That's right, man. So we can keep doing this. Well, look, man, like, thanks so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. And, it's gonna kill.
Leslie, thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll see you next at rehearsal next Thursday.
See you
next
rehearsal.
Well, folks, before I get out of here, I just want to leave you with a little more information. The music you've been listening to on this podcast is all Danny Rhodes music. The first track you heard is a great song called River Road. And the track you're currently listening to is another great piece of music called The Messenger. You can find Danny Rhodes' music on iTunes. Not his entire catalog, but a lot of it. And if you look in the liner notes for some of these blues albums out there, you're liable to find them. It's kind of interesting. You can get current information on what's going on with the upcoming Danny Rhodes Memorial Blues Summit, the fourth annual one, on Facebook. Just go out to the event page, just do a search on Facebook. You can also see what Gabriel Rhodes and the Mods are up to on the Mods Facebook page. So just do a search for that. Remember that the 26th of December is coming, and you should, you know, if you should find yourself in need of something to do on that Monday, that you should take yourself on over to Main Stage in Cottonwood, which is located at 1 South Main in Cottonwood, Arizona. Doors open at 7:00, no cover. There's a bar. There'll be great music. You should be there. I really want to thank you for listening to episode 1 of You'll Never Work in This Town Again. which has been recorded, hosted, produced, and edited by yours truly, Leslie Earl Lyman. It was recorded December 8th, 2016, in the secret living room hideout of Chuck Mirko in Cottonwood, Arizona. And I want to send a great shout out and thank you to Chuck for letting us do that there. And as you can see, all this is this whole podcast is my fault, so you shouldn't blame Matt Santos for anything. We'll see you next time.
Well, that was it. That was episode 118. Hope you enjoyed Leslie Earl Lyman and Gabriel Rhodes talking about the Danny Rhodes Memorial Blues Show at the main stage in Cottonwood, December 26th. Again, don't forget to use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com. It's free to you, yet is a great way to support the show. Also, right next to that Amazon link at milehighshow.com is a link for Audible. Click on that. Use the code MILEHIGH at checkout, and what you get is a free, absolutely free audio download and a free 30-day trial at Audible. Over 180,000 titles to choose from at Audible. Use the code MILEHIGH at checkout and get your free download. Again, thanks for listening. Check us out every week at milehighshow.com. You can also leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play Music. We are all across the board there under Mile High Show. So give us a little feedback. Let us know what you think of the show, positive or negative, doesn't matter. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you think of our show and our guests. And if you have any suggestions on who we should talk to or where we should record, go to milehighshow.com, the Contact Us page, and shoot us a message. All of our archives are also there. All of our back shows dating back to our inaugural show, which was right about 2 years ago in December of 2014. They are all there to listen to. Check them out, and you can also leave us little comments right there at milehighshow.com under the specific show page. So let us know what you think. We want to give you a good snapshot, a good background to the arts and entertainment community here in the Prescott, Arizona area, and also our frequent trips down to the valley. So let us know what you think. Let us know who you would like to hear from and where you think would be a good place for us to record. So thanks for tuning in. Episode number 118 is done, and we hope you enjoyed it. Thanks.